Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Welcome to Labor Day. Good afternoon, and what a weekend. It was a perfect weekend for the almost perfect for the SEC. What a weekend we had, and so glad that you are with us. Yes, Smokey, they started all off looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Mizzou got a win on Thursday. A&M had a long delay, but the kids were happy in the end. They got to see some college football. Georgia, did we miss something? Was Georgia really supposed to be the best team in the country? Yeah, Ole Miss, par for the course. And what about Billy Napier? Who thought he would be the star of the first weekend's games? Few people did. Kentucky was doing fairly well. Well, they got some issues ahead. Auburn, another delay game, but they got the win. Vandy is 2-0. Bryce Young, still the favorite for the Heisman. Cowbells ringing. Shane Beamer, watch out, Shane. You might lose your arm if you and whoa. Oh my goodness, Ryan Kelly, the $10 million man. SEC went 13-1. We can brag about that, but that one loss is what people are still talking about today. The Kelly era begins at LSU with a thud. Whoa, Brian Kelly. Everywhere you go, from New York to L.A. today, they are talking about Brian Kelly. And almost everybody's happy except fans on the Bayou. Everybody in Georgia's happy. Stetson Bennett answered the bell. The defense looked great. Once again, beating down an opponent, just like the last time they played. Another double-digit win, this time by more than 15, though. Auburn swapped the coach. But now a quarterback controversy. Only Auburn can have a controversy after a big win, but a lot of people are wondering about who will be the QB in a few weeks when Penn State comes to town. No QB controversy in Florida. Number 15 is in the Heisman race already, isn't he? Wow. He put on quite a show Saturday night in what we thought was going to be the game of the day. And the commissioner of the SEC, meeting with reporters over the weekend in Atlanta, talking about the CFP, he doesn't think it's going to start until 26. It could start as early as 24. We will ask him in a few minutes what he thinks. David Ubben as well. And the TOL team is back for another season. It was a close vote, but they're back. 5-4 in favor of them returning. I went against them, but who cares? We have a lot of time for phone calls at 855-242-7285. Something tells me that fan bases are going to be crowing and not too many are going to be upset. Well, I may have spoken too soon. There may be a few who are upset as we continue to digest what happened last night in New Orleans. That was truly an utterly stupefying game. It was over so many different times, and then it comes down to the end, and in the end, Brian Kelly decides to put up number one in spite of special teams being a disaster all night. And that's where we begin with Augie in the Big Easy. Good afternoon, Augie.
Good afternoon, Paul. I got to say, Paul, I had a feeling it would be worse than it actually turned out to be. But I think of all the surprising things that happened last night after that game, I was surprised he did kick for the extra point, because I did not see us hanging too well in overtime. So if you have one play to win or lose the game, in a game that was as crazy as that one was and very sketchy as far as our offensive line, I was surprised he went for the one. Well, what did you think about that call? Not the fact they missed the one, but that they didn't go for two to just end it.
I thought it was just an absolutely dreadful call for the reasons that you laid out. It's time to end the game. Your team is, you can use any adjective you want, any expletive you want, but incredibly lucky to be in the game at that point. And with one play, and you just got through running down the field, one miracle after another, just do it again. That's all you have to do. And putting your special teams out there, taking the chance of going into overtime, to me, made no sense at all.
I mean, I think that was the worst call of the night. Now, our offensive line, very, very weak. I think we're going to have trouble. They want to play the other QB because supposedly he can throw, but Daniels didn't have time to throw. The guy was scrambling for his life, and now we know why Kelly started him and not Nussmeier. I don't see that we're going to have a passing game, and I think Boutte, he's going to be a weapon that's going to be useless because we're not going to be able to reach him if we can't have protection. But, Paul, the question of the day now is Brian Kelly versus the man at Florida. I mean, that's going to be a comparison in Baton Rouge that goes on till either Kelly snaps out of it or somehow, you know, the Gators flounder. I mean, what do you think about that being the new
I am forced sometimes on other shows to make those rash generalizations. I did today, this morning, on a couple of other issues. And I think it's impossible to say. Listen, Billy Napier, pretty lucky to be undefeated at this point. He had to lean on a defense that had just given up a long drive to come up with a big play, and that's what they did. But I wouldn't begin to attempt that because we're one game in, two totally separate situations. I frankly thought Florida beat a better team than LSU was playing. But on the other hand, it was a completely different set of circumstances. I think what Brian Kelly has to worry about right now, more than being compared to Billy Napier, is holding on, because he's already caught a lot of flack nationally, Augie. The perception is that he threw his team under the bus at halftime. The perception is that he threw Boutte under the bus. I mean, these are all perceptions. They may not have any reality to them, but Brian Kelly's a different guy. And he and you have to remember, most of the country's already against him.
Yeah, well, I think Brian Kelly, you've got to give the guy a couple of years. I think Ogeron left LSU with absolutely nothing. I said that before the season. I say it again. And my initial call, if you remember, Paul, was 7-5. Right now, I'm thinking if we break even, we might do well. But there's still a lot to be seen.
Yeah,
anyway,
listen,
Paul.
Listen, Augie, we overreact. That's what we do. But, I think it would be foolish to overreact long term on Brian Kelly. Yeah, you can easily overreact or underreact on what he did last night. That's all we know. He had a team that was out of sync from the coin toss. And yeah, I don't know how though your special teams can be that bad. I mean the easy joke is, you know, Brian Kelly, you're making $10 million a season. Can't you afford a special teams coach? But in reality, that stuff gets cleaned up pretty quickly. And I thought his demeanor after the game was appropriate. He wasn't going crazy. He's been down this road many, many times. And sometimes these things just completely get away from you on week one. The problem for him, it's not like he has a long time to wait. I mean, he's got to correct these things very quickly, because in a couple of weeks the games start piling up. Let's continue with more phone calls. Tyler is in Alabama. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Very well.
I wanted to discuss the two Auburn quarterback situation we got going on in Auburn, and get your opinion on who you think was more impressive. I know it was a cupcake game, but I believe Robbie Ashford should be the starter named after the next game if he continues to play well and TJ Finley continues to play the same.
I totally agree with you, Tyler, and that was what people were saying early. That's what smart people were saying early on, while others in the media melted down on his decision to start Finley. Sometimes you make that call for things that are not obvious to the public. Maybe in camp, he felt like he had to reward. He felt like he had to reward Finley for the effort that he gave during camp, and there may have been some other components involved, which we don't know about, but. I don't have any doubt Brian Harsin is plenty smart enough to see what happens over the first 2 weeks and then go with the quarterback that's capable of beating Penn State. That's really what all this is about. We will take a break. We are off and running. The commissioner of the Southeastern Conference is joining us at the bottom of the hour. More of your phone calls right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Daryl is up next in Georgia. Daryl?
Well, let me say this first about Brian Kelly, okay? I was never big on the Brian Kelly hire anyway, but I would say that 99.9% of college football head coaches kick the extra point, okay? If you don't kick the extra point, this is what happens. You got people that's going to say, hey, look here, you just took the football and went 98 yards down the field, okay, and scored. You got all the momentum going into overtime, and you're going to risk it by going for a two-point conversion. However, when you go for the extra point, if the kick gets blocked up the middle, you have to just tip your hat to the other special team. Great play. Okay. Darryl, but never Darryl, should the kick get blocked on the outside. Never should that happen.
Okay, great. Thanks.
You know what I mean? That's a coaching deal right there.
Great.
So, but Paul, he gets a free pass, okay? Just like all first-year coaches, that they get a free pass. LSU end up 8-4, 9-3. Now, Paul, I've been saying for how long that this is only the beginning in Athens, it's not the end. How long have I been saying that? And it's probably going to get better and better and better.
Why don't you save us some time and just get right to your point as opposed to all the hype?
Okay, right. Here's my first point, okay? My first point is I think it's time that maybe we start the Stetson Bennett for Heisman campaign, okay? His last three games, Paul, he's been MVP of the Orange Bowl, MVP of the National Championship game, and now National Player of the Week, okay? His last three games, all right? On the defensive side of the ball, I think we got probably 4 to 5 players on that defense right now that's going to end up first-round draft choices eventually in the NFL. And here's the deal, Paul. I think what you're seeing here, I mean, there's no doubt Todd Monken is definitely the best offensive coordinator in college football. Gene Schumann is really good, but you see Kirby Smart, I've said it before, he brought in Will Muschamp. He brought in Mike Bobo. He brought in Brian McClendon. All of those are former players that are now assistant coaches. I think that pays off big time. I think they take a little more pride in their job because they played at Georgia. I think you saw that also yesterday.
Daryl, of all the stupid things you've ever said, I think that would qualify as the dumbest. The fact that a former player is going to work harder, especially a couple of guys who've been head coaches elsewhere. I mean, Daryl,
you don't think Mike Bobo had a big
completely absurd, okay?
Paul.
You're
the only thing that's dumb is you, okay?
Will
going out there
and
trying to build up. Bryce Young threw for 195 yards.
Will Muschamp's been a head coach at two separate schools, but he's going to work harder now that he's at Georgia, making one-tenth of what he used to make as a head coach. I mean, Darryl, please. I mean, it's Labor Day. It's not April Fool's Day. Let's talk to Dave in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Oh, hi, Paul. That was wild. Thanks for taking my call. Me and Peggy enjoyed that show Friday that you did in Fayetteville.
Thank you.
Because we're big Hog fans. Oh, it was a tremendous show. And then Saturday on the SEC channel, we loved them both. We thought you did a great job. And kudos to you, man. You're good.
Well, Dave, that means a great deal. And all the best to Peggy. Certainly enjoyed talking to her recently. Pat is in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Listen, that was not the mailman out there Saturday afternoon. That was Stetson Bennett IV 2.0. And now I know why he came back. And I don't have any conundrum about him whatsoever. We won't talk about the Heisman. It's too early in the year. But my imagination is having a problem with me. I imagine that Bo Nix transferred to Oregon, and he still helped us with two touchdowns yesterday.
Auburn's just upset that they can't get Oregon on the schedule with Bo Nix at the quarterback position.
No, absolutely. I imagined that Dan Lanning, the defensive coordinator for the national champions last year and the defense he had at Georgia, I imagined that he allowed Georgia seven straight touchdowns, and the reason we didn't miss a field goal is because we didn't have to kick one, although we got a pretty good field goal
kicker.
Well, Pat,
I've been a huge fan of Dan Lanning, and I remain one, but he looked absolutely clueless throughout most of that game.
Well, and I feel sorry for him from that aspect. I also imagined that we had stopped opening up our season playing against Powder Puffs, but maybe that's not the case. I thought Oregon came in seeded number 11. I guess maybe the seeding was bad. And I also imagined that we were in a rebuilding year for our defense, and that obviously is not the case.
Well, I would agree. I think it would help when it would help define whether where the Georgia defense is when they're playing someone other than Bo Nix and Oregon. Ultimately, Dan Lanning's only has to be thankful that there was one defensive coordinator who had a worse day, and that was Gene Chizik, who gave up what did he give up? Like, give up 40 some odd points in his debut as a defensive coordinator at North Carolina. Let's check in with Adam, who is up next in Alabama. Hello, Adam.
Hey, Paul. Just want to say, first of all, big fan. Happy to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
My question was specifically, really, you know, the SEC plays these Pac-12 teams, and it makes me wonder, you know, are these games being overhyped when, and I'm not saying that Florida can't, you know, go on to be an excellent team, but, you know, are these teams overhyped when we're having, you know, maybe some middle of the pack teams just absolutely blow out?
Well,
these
no, Adam, I think,
touted-
and again, you know, you don't need me because you have plenty of other people that state the obvious about the SEC, but I think when you play in a conference like the SEC, these games are no big deal. You play these games nine times a year, eight or nine times a year, depending on who your non-conference game is, where a school like Utah, they play one of these every year, and it just seems like it happens to them. It's happened to Oregon two or three times now. It happened to Washington. It's happened to Southern Cal in the past, although now everybody believes Lincoln Riley has returned Southern Cal to a national championship. And they're just not conditioned for it. They're not used to it. And you know, I blame the pollsters. I blame all of us because I thought Oregon was going to be good because they were good last year. If Cristobal had been in the game, maybe they would have been a little bit better prepared. But you know, Dan Lanning looked like he had never been a head coach before. And you know what? He had never been a head coach before. We will take a break. The commissioner of the Southeastern Conference will join us next.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Well, this came from Commissioner Sankey. He has had a busy run of college football, starting in Honolulu. He went to Missouri on Thursday. Saturday saw two games. And then, of course, saw the showdown last night. We say hello to Commissioner Greg Sankey on this Labor Day. Good afternoon, Commissioner. Hopefully you've had a nap, but that's quite a busy schedule.
It was. It has been. It will be. I start tomorrow back with travel for the normal part of the job and then end up in Austin, Texas. And if travel goes well, I'll see Mississippi State out in Tucson late at night for Pac-12 after dark with the SEC team involved.
Well, I don't know how you do it, but I'm glad you're seeing that much football. It's pretty exciting to think about. So let me get to just for the weekend. The SEC has had quite a run, obviously one loss out of the first two weekends. I know you can read a lot into it or not, but it seems like the league is in very good shape.
It is. You know, you don't want to overreact. I think I saw on your Twitter account asking people for their overreactions after week one. Paul, in kind of my nature, my makeup, I went back and Googled an article, I think it was in the Washington Post 4 or 5 years ago, where we didn't have such a great opening weekend. And people can overpredict demise. So we know it's week to week. We've got big games this weekend, big games in week three, and then a lot more focus on conference play as we go forward, even though I should say we have two conference versus conference games this Saturday.
Commissioner Sankey with us. And Commissioner, let's get to the big story over the weekend. It broke on Friday afternoon, something that you were part of a group that nearly got it done a year ago, and we'll talk about some of the reasons why we are still having this conversation. But your first immediate reaction to the decision, and when could we see a 12-school college playoff?
The first part of that, the presidents were really clear. If you go back to when probably you and I visited in Santa Clara, that's the press release that indicated the Board of Managers was initiating through the management committee a review of the college football playoff format. They were very clear they were going to control the decision. And even in January this year, out of the non-action in Indianapolis, the presidents who formed the CFP Board of Managers indicated they'd continue working on the task at hand. No prediction that they'd make a decision as they did, but a knowledge that they were going to continue being engaged. And lo and behold, that produced a decision on Friday. Paul, if you go back to Destin, one of the reasons we slowed our football scheduling consideration was to give some time for the CFP discussion to develop more, not that we'd have a decision as we do, but that we'd have a direction. So that's a helpful piece of information for us as we make our own decisions. And as it relates to the when, my view has been once we initiated the review, if we ever came to a point to say, here's the format, in the future, our culture doesn't exactly accept, you know, hey, just wait. We've got it figured out, but you have to wait 4 years for implementation. So the expectation would be do it sooner rather than later. There are a number of hurdles, dates, logistics, sites, contracts that have to be both understood and then adjusted. Whether or not that can happen remains to be seen. But I expect a meaningful effort to figure out if after the 24 and 25 seasons, which are year 11 and 12 of the current 12-year contract, an expanded playoff could take place. But certainly the playoff expansion will be ready to go for that, that 26 season, January 27 national championship.
Commissioner, you mentioned some of the issues, but a lot of people, when they saw this, started thinking it could happen in 24. Why wouldn't it happen? All the money, all the fun, all the interest it brings, especially to leagues that are on the bridge of already being on the brink of already being out of the playoffs this year. Why can't it be in 24?
Well, history is a bit of a guide. You know, we couldn't make a decision for a year on actually the exact same format that was approved Friday. So as you walk through issues, we'll see. I was not surprised we didn't act last September or November. I did expect the ability for us to work through and collaborate to solve problems. That didn't take place. So any of my caution or care and over-predicting change is, hey, I thought we'd have a direction then. We didn't. We have more of a direction now, but some of those same lingering issues will be in front of us. Now, you can see that motivations and interests have changed. Last year, after our announced addition of Oklahoma and Texas, one can expect that there was a little bit of a reaction to that slowed things. And now, when others were directly impacted or involved, not named the Southeastern Conference, perhaps that's one of the reasons that things sped up, and that might create opportunities for earlier adjustment, some motivations for earlier adjustment.
There is a television component. I realize you represent the Southeastern Conference, and some of us are sitting on the other side here, at least as employees. But ultimately, where does that figure into it with ESPN having the contract throughout the remainder of this, and then who knows what else after that?
So you deal with what do you know, what do you not know? So let's talk about what do we know. We know ESPN has an agreement through the 12-year cycle. That's our reality. Paul, I think one of the really misunderstood or miscommunicated points was the small committee on which I served that included Jack Swarbrick from Notre Dame, Bob Bowlesby, then the commissioner of the Big 12, Craig Thompson from the Mountain West, and myself. We all said from the beginning when we made the original presentation that for year 13 with this 12-team format, we would fully go to market with the media rights. And what that conveyed, and we were very specific to say, everybody will have the opportunity to participate. Now, some cite this decision to withhold support as an attempt to leverage other media entities in. Paul, the reality was we were always going to market, and that affects us all. And as the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference with a really important relationship with Disney, ABC, ESPN, I acknowledge that, and I've shared that with my ESPN colleagues. That said, there's no guarantee that we would go with multiple media partners. That's certainly a possibility. But we have to be responsible to understand we need to see the actual proposals before we make such a decision for allocating future media rights. That's the right way to go about this. That was stated by the working group on which I served again from the beginning. And I think it's important to clarify that. And that just means, Paul, that I think ESPN certainly will be a player. I think those other networks that now have either more activity in the college football space or some activity will have an interest, and who knows what the future holds with interested parties.
In terms of what happens next, I know there's meetings coming up, and I'm always skeptical when the same people are in the room, they'll come to the same result, at least for the time being. But what happens at this next meeting? How do you work through a problem that was such an issue only 8 or 9 months ago?
Motivation from presidents and chancellors is enormously helpful for commissioners. We all work directly for presidents and chancellors who form our board. So they've delivered a message. You know, that's a motivating factor. Some of the changes that have taken place over the last 14 months, that will be a motivating factor. Now, we have to, I would expect, go through sharing of perspectives. You could argue that for some that may be airing of grievances or a celebration of the decision. Either way, I don't expect feats of strength to be included for those that will remark about Festivus in there. And then we'll dig into things like the calendar. Where do games fit in the context of completing the regular season in college football, including conference championship games? Where do they fit within the context of the academic calendar, both in the fall and in January as classes begin? You know, the NFL has added a week of games to its schedule. That's impacting us this year. We have to think intentionally about what that means, both for the NFL regular season and playing opportunities for college playoff games, and in the context of the NFL postseason. So that, to me, becomes one of the first issues. We'll go through, and I think, an understanding of the agreements in place. If we're going to attempt to go early, what has to be addressed? And then, just like we did with the Transformation Committee, which I co-chair, the focus on how do we support student athletes through this change will be at the forefront of our mind. And I think an important part of the conversation. You know, contextually, we just opened up the ability to provide a number of additional benefits through NCAA rules to student athletes. This format expansion gives us an opportunity to meet some of those new expectations. And then there's a lot of details that would be really boring television if I went too far into it. But I just printed something out for a meeting that I think is like 3 or 4 pages deep. Not that all of those will take huge debate, but just an awareness of the things that have to be dealt with from either CFP staff or from us as a management committee.
Commissioner, I know you've addressed this next question many, many times, but a lot has changed since we were able to ask you about it. And I know you'll be asked again Saturday, I'm sure, in Austin. But considering everything else that is currently going on in college athletics, has anything changed in relation to Texas and Oklahoma coming into the Southeastern Conference earlier?
It is not from our perspective. It's a fair question. It was a comment and a question asked of the new Big 12 commissioner, Brett Yormark, during his media days back in July. It is in the context of the Big 10 expansion, CFP expansion, conferences going to market with their media rights, and then discussion about who might move where in other conferences. It's a question I'm asked repeatedly. And we, the Southeastern Conference, the leadership, the president and athletic director at Oklahoma, president and athletic director at the University of Texas, have focused on a respectful, orderly transition. We've said that from the very beginning. That's why you haven't seen huge press conferences and logos flying around and new campuses. And I've been careful about my presence. This will be my first visit to Austin since the announced addition. And we want that to continue. The discussion of departure of Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12 is between those two universities and their current conference, where they have a grant of rights agreement. And the reason that we established July 1st, 2025 is the entry date, as that is the day after those agreements conclude. And that remains our focus, Paul.
And listen, I realize you have a very busy schedule. You go to a lot of games. And I know you've seen, you're going to one on Saturday night as well. So it somewhat answers the first part of this question. But some people will read your visit to Austin and draw conclusions. I'm sure you'll be able to counter by saying, I'm going to another game on the road. But don't you normally go to either neutral site games involving SEC teams or SEC home games?
Yeah, typically I do. This one, obviously, with all that's happened in the last year or so, was on my radar before. Knowing that had we not made the membership announcement, there'd be a bit of a stir, if you would, if I showed up on another campus. The reality is, with all I have on me right now, with Transformation Committee, you know, our discussions with Congress, some of the other opportunities to engage constituents and still attend football games, I'm going to end up seeing 9 of our teams play the first 3 weeks of the regular season, plus Vanderbilt week 0. And that's going to make my management of our schedule much, much easier. So I have about 5 different factors that have motivated me to go see the scene in Austin, say hello to folks. I've spoken with our friends at Oklahoma about the opportunity for me to visit there, say hello. because I've not been to Norman since we've made the announcement either. And we all need to be preparing because as scheduled for 2025, it will be on us sooner rather than later. And building relationships is an important piece of the transition.
Before you go, you mentioned all the various issues in college athletics, and I know you've been to Washington many times and have continually dealt with people relating to NIL. Where are we right now on that being addressed? I know it's being addressed constantly, but in terms of getting something done.
Sure. Yeah, good question. We saw the news about Senator Tuberville and Senator Manchin in a bipartisan way reaching out to a set of conferences asking for perspective on key elements of a name, image, and likeness related bill that could be developed in Congress. Myself and my other four colleagues in the Autonomy 5 sent a joint response, something we all agreed upon that laid out the framework. We'll continue in conversations, I'm certain, with the senator's staff, just as we have with others, both Republicans and Democrats, because we need a bipartisan solution. Actually, Paul, over the weekend, because I'm at these games, I have the opportunity to be introduced to different members of the House or Senate, both at the state and federal level. Those are important conversations just to explain the why. We're not going to have a solution without talking specifically about the why we need engagement at the federal level. Next week, Lead One, the Division I FBS Athletics Directors Association, gathers in Washington, D.C. They've asked me to be a part of their gathering. It'll allow some dialogue across Division I athletic directors about what's happening, both with the Transformation Committee and Name, Image, and Likeness, knowing that many of them will have the opportunity while they're in Washington, D.C. to engage in an educational effort. And, Paul, that's the net of our focus, is we have to communicate the why. Knowing that right now a third of the Senate, all of the House is preparing for a November midterm election. When we get to the new Congress, we tend to think that provides us the opportunity, if something happens more quickly, great. And we'll explore with the new Congress the opportunity for a solution. Then there's any number of possibilities if we're not successful at the federal level, having to reengage in a different conversation with our states, also dealing with litigation in front of us. So there are no dull moments right now on either the football field, the soccer field, the volleyball court, cross country, which is active, or in the administrative work, including dealing with our state and federal legislators.
Commissioner Greg Sankey, who has been in the air a great deal in the last couple of days and will continue. I'm surprised you're not an add-on to the moon mission whenever we get that off the ground.
When we get it off the ground, who knows?
Thank you, Commissioner. It's great to see you.
Thanks, Paul.
Commissioner Greg Sankey joining us on this Labor Day, and we will take a break. A lot to digest there. We'll get your reaction and more of your phone calls right after this.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Final couple of minutes of hour number one on this Labor Day. And William is up next in Maryville.
Hello, Paul. Happy Labor Day to you. I'm glad to see you're working.
Well, we're laboring. I didn't really want to. They sent a car and came to pick me up.
Well, I mean, do you think Brian Kelly is working today, or is he?
I rather doubt it. I think he's trying to blame. He's looking for someone else to throw under the bus, but there's no room.
Well, you know, like I've repeatedly told you, he's You know, he's Butch Jones from another mother with a little bit better record. He's a carnival barker. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
I thought you had a great interview with Commissioner Sankey. You know, he's much more political and circumspect than I am. There's a psychological phenomenon called the impending doom, and that's what you have before the bear, you know, the grizzly bear eats you, the great white shark eats you, and that's when your life races before you. And you know, I've had it before, and it's real. And I think the ACC and the Pac-10, 12, what do you want to call it, and all those lesser conferences have impending doom because they're afraid what the SEC and the Big Ten are going to do with them. And that's the motivation for making some decisions, because they'll do anything to save themselves.
Yeah, I think that's right. And again, there's no reason to grievance over what's already gone wrong, although some of the same people are still involved in the decision, William. But I don't trust these other commissioners. Why should we? And yeah, I'm pretty down after listening to Commissioner Sankey about the unlikelihood that anything can get done before 26. We will be back, 3 hours to go.